And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In a few moments, we're going to look at our gospel lesson in Matthew chapter 3. We're headed toward John the Baptist, but we're headed there. Before we get there, I want us to turn over to the book of Romans. If you brought a Bible with you, turn with me. If not, you'll hear what I want to read. But I want to go to Romans chapter 1. Because if you do that Bible reading plan in your bulletin insert, that's where we have been for the last several days. And by the way, I do want to mention again, as I've mentioned many times, in your bulletin insert, there is a read through the Bible plan that if you do that, most days is a chapter a day of the Bible, that if you follow that plan in 3 years, you will have read the entire Bible. If you're, as I always say, if you're doing something else, do that. But if you're not in the Word every day, I would commend that to you. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I really would urge upon everyone here to read the Bible every single day. And one of the reasons I especially urge it now is we always start that year on December 1st, not January 1st, but on December 1st. So we literally just started it. And this is also year A. There's year A, B, and C. So if you start right now, you're in a great place to start it. Now, we're in the book of Romans, and our epistle lesson was Romans 15, but I want to look at Romans, the first five chapters this morning, and on that basis, work our way back to John the Baptist. But yeah, obviously, have to... I was just kind of stuck with, I was doing my sermon prep, and I kept thinking, how do I not talk about Romans, right? Literally, I was thinking, how do I not talk about Romans? It's so foundational, right, to every part of Christian theology. One of Martin Luther's favorite books of the Bible, he literally said that he wished that every Christian knew the whole book of Romans by heart. And I cannot do that, but he obviously esteemed the book. And it's obviously from St. Paul to a Gentile church, this is what Christianity is about. So I want us to look at several things. The book, like Paul always does, starts with some greetings. I want to read for you Romans 1:16, foundational verse. In verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then the Gentile. And I want us to hear it. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because that's how God works salvation. And the reason he says I'm not ashamed is then, just like now, a lot of the culture was saying, church, shut up. And Paul is saying, I don't plan to shut up about it. I plan to speak about the gospel of my Lord Jesus Christ. This is how God saves us. Now, that's foundational to the book. And what we want to be a little surprised by is in Romans 16, he says, the gospel, and you think, well, this is going to be a book that has a lot of nice, pleasant things to say, and if you're thinking that that's what will follow, you'd be mistaken. Romans 1:16 is followed by the rest of that chapter is about the sinfulness of mankind. And all of chapter 2 is about the sinfulness of mankind. And the first half of chapter 3 is about the sinfulness of mankind. And he gets specific. That's a lot of verses. Paul really gets into the muck and the mire and describes this is what the human condition is like. And you read it. He started at the gospel. And you read it and you think, Paul, wow, you're really dragging us through the heavy stuff. But what I want us to get, he goes through the specifics of it to let us know what our situation really, really is. But I want us to catch something. I'm going to skip over verse 2, or chapter 2. I'm going to mention what it was about. But I want to go to chapter 3, verse 10. And he's going to quote the Old Testament. And he quotes there, is there's no one righteous, not even one. Now, why is he saying that? Paul has described how bad the human condition is, and he knows that one of the things we're tempted to do is he must be talking about the people out there, right? And so we watch the news and we see the worst of the worst possible things that can happen, and we think, wow, I'm glad I'm not like that, right? There was murder and violence and robbery. And we say, wow, look how terrible things are. And Paul is saying, I don't want you to say, look at how terrible they are. I want us to get, when he says, there's no one righteous, not even one, what does he mean? I'm a sinner. He wants us to own it, that we ourselves are sinful people. And what he wants us to avoid is this. Many people will think the problem in the world is immorality. And if the problem is immorality, then logic says the fix must be what? Morality. And that ain't it. It's just not. Paul wants us to get that, first of all, the word sinful includes us, but it also is not us saying that if we could make ourselves behave better, we'd be okay. So he goes in 3:10, I'm going to go to 3:20. He says, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. What he's saying is that we can't and won't keep the law. And he's going to continue in that chapter to say stuff like this. Romans 3:21. Let's hold that for a minute. 3:20, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. And the reason he's saying that is that he knows that we'll never get there. Now, let me ask you this. Did Paul try to be righteous? Yes, as a young man, he had worked very, very hard at being righteous, and he failed. And so he's looking not just at the world, but he's looking at himself and saying, we're never going to save ourselves. And so he moves from that, from the sinfulness and the inability to save ourselves. Now he's going to get to 3:21. He says, now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. I want us to hear the phrase, apart from the law. There is a righteousness, but it's not morality. There's a righteousness apart from the law. And verse 22 says this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. You see what he's saying? He's not saying, I need you to behave better. He's saying, I need you to get that you can't save yourself and your salvation is in Christ and in nothing else. Now, I want to read 3:23, but before I do, I want to say something about it. Many evangelists read Romans 3:23 because it's about our sinfulness, and so a lot of evangelists think the first thing we have to do is convince people of their sinfulness, and I agree with them to a point, but here's what often gets missed is 3:23 is not the end of a concept, it's halfway through a concept. Romans 3:23, in other words, does not end with a period, it ends with a comma. So here's Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You've heard that verse, right? And people love to say that. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's not a period. It says comma, verse 24, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. You see that? All are under sin, and all can be saved by faith in Christ. There isn't another way. That's what he's saying. Does that make sense? No. That's Romans 1, 2, 3, our problem with sin, that law won't save us, but faith will, and faith in Jesus does. Now, I'm not going to read Romans 4, but I want to mention what he does. In Romans chapter 4, Paul's going to say, well, some people are going to say, well, what about Abraham? Right? Abraham's the father of faith. What does the Bible say about Abraham? And here's what Paul says. Some people would like to say you can be saved by Christ as long as you keep all of the Old Testament laws. And particularly, some of them would say, especially if you keep the covenant of circumcision. And so Paul says this. In Genesis chapter 15, it says that Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, here's the question, not I, but Paul asked. Was Paul saved by faith before or after he was circumcised? And the answer is before. So he's saying God gave him the sign of circumcision, but his salvation by faith was entirely apart from that. Does that make sense? So the Old Testament law was for a time, but that time in Christ is fulfilled. And so you're not saved by keeping the law. You're saved by faith in Christ. That's Romans 1, 2, 3, 4. And so he gets to Romans 5, verse 1. He says this, therefore, as you've heard me say in many a sermon. Therefore is a looking back thing, right? Say, on the basis of everything we've already said, 5 verse 1, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful verse? All the stuff that we've been talking about, we've been saved by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I have said last week and I've said before, the good news is what? Is good news. It's simple. You guys didn't remember that. The good news, folks, is what? Good news. You're saved by faith in Christ. Now you might say, how is he getting to John the Baptist? I want us to notice this. That's Paul, Romans 1 to 5. I'm going to flip over to Matthew chapter 3. That's our gospel lesson. This is John the Baptist. And the reason I wanted us to have that in our back pocket, because a lot of times when people read John the Baptist, they think his preaching is a little bit potent. And I want to look at this. And this is something that occurred to me this week. I'm doing my prep. Our text was Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. And that really has to be seen as two halves. I want us to notice this. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 6 is one half, and 7 to 12 is the other half. And what happens is we tend to read it together and say, wow, his preaching's a little bit abrupt. Now, here's what I want us to get. In the first half of the chapter, the first thing we get is that John the Baptist is the guy who prepares the way for the Messiah. You know that already. You might say, how do we know this? The answer is Matthew says so, and Matthew quotes Isaiah 40 saying, this is the guy, the voice calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, right? That's Isaiah 40, and he's saying that passage, that's John, and if John is that guy, then the next guy is the Christ, right? So that's what he's saying. Now, John is out in the wilderness. He's dressed like a crazy man. And he's eating locusts and wild honey. As you've heard me say many times, that is both crunchy and sweet, right? I am not commending to anyone here that you should, for lunch this afternoon, have lunch with locusts and wild honey. But if you want, they are nutritious. Now, here's what I want us to get. First half of the text is devoted to everybody. So John appears on the scene, and what does he preach? He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near because he says the Messiah is right around the corner. The kingdom has come near. And to prepare for the Messiah, we need to get who we are and face God in repentance, right? Now, you might say, well, that seems like law preaching, Pastor Walt. I get it. It seems sort of law preaching, but I want us to hear this part. Chapter 3, verse 6. Confessing their sins, law part, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Gospel part. You see it? John is a law gospel preacher. Confessing their sins, but they were baptized. Baptized means they were what? Washed. Like literally saying, your sins are washed away. So he's agreeing with Paul. We have a sin problem, and it's saved by God's activity in us, and we're going to get baptized in the Jordan River. Now, we know this is a text to everybody. Again, we want to answer these things from the text. And here's verse 5. It says, people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. So who does that mean? All of us, right? Regular folks are coming out. Now, that's 1 to 6. I want us to pick this up. Verse 7 changes gears because it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming. You see what I'm saying? Now, after those guys come, John the Baptist preaching gets very tough. And a lot of times we read all of it as if it's talking to all of us. When we read passages like this, part of the way to interpret it is to ask ourselves this question, who's he talking to? Does that make sense? Who's he talking to? He's talking to everybody. Repent, be baptized. Law, gospel. We're sinful. there's grace, right? That's everybody. But it says the Pharisees and the Sadducees were coming, and that's when he changes to being tougher, and he says, "You brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the coming wrath?" Now, the reason I want to divide those two things is that some pastors think they're supposed to preach to their congregation, "You brood of vipers." And I want you to know, you guys are not the brood of vipers. That is somebody else. That's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So we need to look at those guys for just a brief minute. I know you've heard of them before. The Pharisees are legalists. Legalists think that they will be saved by keeping the law, and that just ain't so. But the other thing is the legalists always emphasize external righteousness, and when they do that, they think they're better than other people. The Lord God hates that. He really hates it. Now, that's the Pharisees. The Sadducees are the skeptics. The Sadducees don't think that the majority of the Old Testament is actually God's word, and they also think there's no such thing as life after death. So there are people who say they're religious, but they're not really believers, and John has a tough message to them. And the other reason he does is he also gets that their repentance is phony. He says this in verse 8. He says, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." What he gets is they're there for an empty ritual, and they don't really mean it. So what's that? So you see what I'm saying? Two halves, verse 1 to 6, everybody, 7 to 12, Sadducees and Pharisees. And one of the things the text is saying to us is, don't be a Pharisee, don't be a Sadducee. Make sense? No. John's preaching is just like Paul. Sinners are saved by God, right? They're saved by God's washing and his activity. We're not saved by morality. We're not saved by doing better. God wants to change us, of course, but we're not saved by morality. We're saved by the gospel. And so both of these passages, Romans and Matthew 3, is saying to us, none are righteous, no, not one, but there is a righteousness apart from the law. That's Paul, right? And that righteousness comes by faith in Christ, and that Christ is the Christ who comes. Right? That's Advent, that's Christmas, that Christ comes to save. Trust in him. That's it, right? Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.